evening, everybody. Word of welcome to our guests. We're always pleased to have those visitors, to have you with us. Always welcome at the cathedral, so don't be strangers to us. So I mentioned at the very beginning of Mass, we continue for our cathedral parishioners, for our parish, our stewardship renewal process. And I just want to say before a few thoughts, thanks to Connie, Aaron, Silas, and Jim and Marcia for their witness talks last weekend. You should have, or you will very shortly, receive your renewal information with everything you need to make your commitment. That will come to you through the United States Postal Service, or you can find everything you need also on our cathedral website. You will notice that not only myself, but others, the council and others in leadership position here at the cathedral have asked for you to give some thought to what our priorities need to be in the near future, maybe even just for the upcoming months and year, especially what I hope, I know you do too, what we might eventually be able to refer to as the post-pandemic period of our life together. Commitment Sunday is the weekend of February 13th and 14th, so thanks in advance for your continued commitment to our cathedral. It's an important time for us. It's an important time for us to be able to not only continue to build, but also to grow the great ministries of our beloved cathedral. On a practical note, if you're not doing it, I ask you to seriously consider signing up for the automatic withdrawal for your treasure part of stewardship. As my mother would say, it's easy peasy. It's very helpful also for our ability to manage our budget, and not only on an annual basis, but just the week-to-week and month-to-month work of the cathedral. It helps us to do that more efficiently and effectively. Obviously, there's information, not only what you'll receive in the mail, but also on our website for how to set that up. If you have questions, just reach out to us. We'll be very, very happy to help you. As you know, stewardship not only helps us to pay the bills, as I have said on probably more than one occasion, Jesus' love is free, but everything else costs. But more importantly, it helps us to do together the work that we've been called to do and assigned to do and entrusted to do in this particular chapter of the life of the Cathedral of the Assumption. I want, if you will, to come with me to just reflect a bit about stewardship this evening and also what I've said on more than one occasion. We move forward together. We move forward together, or we don't go at all, just like those who have gone before us. So our proper use of time, talent, and treasure, the end of the day does keep the lights on. But more importantly, it is for the salvation of our souls and everyone entrusted to us that we help to know, to love, and to serve God. I want to go back with you in salvation history and find out where one of the three T's in stewardship, time, talent, and treasure, comes from. It's really the word in the tradition of the church and in sacred scripture is not the word treasure, but that big, bad, ugly word, tithe. The word tithe comes from the Hebrew word meaning tenth. It really is a spiritual tool for us. What it asks us to do as a life of stewardship, stewardship as a way of life, is to look at everything that comes into our house. Not only our salaries, but many other things that come, taking 90% of it and doing what is obviously the right thing to do with it. Probably for most of us, that means taking care of our families, food, shelter, warmth, education, all of those great things. And then returning to God 10% of it. Now, you might ask yourself, I did in one point in time, who do you think thought that up? But I've asked that question before, when folks could actually answer, at least in Catholic circles, there's usually a little quiet, uncomfortable feel that comes over the room. Well, in essence, the word tithe and the practice of tithe goes way back to the Old Testament and our good friend Jacob. Jacob's ladder might be a term familiar to you. You might remember the story of Jacob. Jacob was one of two twin boys born to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau was the firstborn, and just a few minutes later, Jacob came hanging on to the heel of his twin brother. If you know the story, Jacob managed to figure out how to get all the perks that in at least that century culturally in Judaism normally went to son number one. One day, this is how he did it. Esau came home from hunting. Esau, if we're really honest, could probably be described more hungry than smart. Jacob had stayed home and cooked. Esau came in, said to Jacob, "What would it take to give me some of that soup you're stirring there?" And sly, ingenious Jacob said, "Here's my chance." "Sure, I will give you some in turn for your inheritance." So the story goes, Esau got one itsy bitsy bowl of soup. Now, for those in the finance world, that's not quite zero-sum gain net economics. I wouldn't suggest that you hire Esau as your investment counselor. Now, Father Isaac, their dad, is getting older. Even at this time, he had lost his eyesight. He knows it's time to pass on to his firstborn son the blessing that would make him the new head of his family. Once again, unfortunate for Esau, he was away from home. So Jacob puts on animal skin on his arms. Again, unfortunate for poor Esau. He was known and described in the sacred scriptures as being a very hairy man. Poor guy can't win. Jacob's described as very smooth-skinned, handsome, not unlike David. So Jacob goes to Father Isaac, can't really see him, and says, "Oh, Father, I am Esau. I've come for your blessing." And Isaac responds, "You sound a lot like Jacob." Isaac reaches out to touch Jacob and says, "Excuse me, you sound a lot like Esau." Esau, Jacob reaches out, "Oh, but your arms are the arms of Esau." So Isaac gives to son number two blessing, the inheritance, that's normally reserved for the first son. Well, those of you who have children, imagine what happens next. Intense sibling rivalry. And Esau and Jacob's mom says to Jacob, I think you better go stay with your uncle Laban for a while until your brother cools off. Jacob does that. He stops on his journey for a night to sleep outside. He has a dream. This is where the ladder comes in. In his dream, there's a ladder that stretches from earth all the way up to heaven, with angels ascending and descending, while God stands next to him and says, Jacob, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Your descendants will stretch from north and south and east and west. I'm going to take care of you. I promise. And also promise to you, Jacob, that I will bring you in peace back to the land of your father. Jacob woke up. The dream had ended. And the important thing to note here is God did not ask Jacob for anything. All he said was, Jacob, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And most importantly, in peace, I'm going to bring you back to the land of your father. All he said to Jacob, I'm going to do these things for you. So in the morning, when Jacob got up, he took the rock he was using as his pillow, he anointed it with oil, renamed the place Beth-El, Bethel, which means house of God. Jacob says, truly God is in this place. I just didn't know it. Read the rest of the story. It's in Genesis chapter 28. And when it ends, Jacob prays to God, if you will be my God and do what you've promised, if you see that I have food to eat and clothing to wear, and you bring me back in peace to the land of my father, of all that you give me, I will give to you, guess what? 1/10 of everything that I have. For those of us who look upon tithe as a legal requirement, as we see the history and where it stems from, it's not really a tax on your soul. It's a free will offering back to God, just like Jacob, man with an open, grateful heart. I know now. And if you read the rest of the testimony of Jacob, he learns God never goes back on his promises. Therefore, Jacob lives the rest of his life with an open, grateful heart. I think there are some core values in stewardship as a way of life that really come and rise out of the testimony, the narrative about Jacob. First, this is what we heard. Jacob is given an identity. You will be mine, and I will be yours forever. It's the same for us. We belong to God. We are his sons and daughters, family of faith. The second is trust. It's what Jacob learned. As God had promised to him, this is what I will give to you. This is what I will do for you. Jacob learned. I can trust what he promised. Trust in God is the preparation for the blessedness of the poor. Next, it's gratitude. Jacob was grateful to God, so too for us. If you remember, if you were able to be with us for Mass on Thanksgiving Day, I went back and quoted a Protestant pastor that I had heard a sermon on Thanksgiving Day many, many years ago, and never forgot it because I thought the insight was so keen. He asked the question, were the pilgrims grateful because they survived, or did they survive because they were grateful? Never forgotten that insight. And I really do truly believe it's the latter. And then finally, we use the Latin word caritas, or love. St. Paul would say to us, there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So for us as followers of Christ, Jacob would do the same. That sense of charity and of service is not just something nice to do. For us, it's a requirement, an assignment. That's what we do in imitation of Christ. So over the next few weeks until February 13th, 14th. Let's just pray and discern. This is what God has given to me. Unconditionally, no strings attached. How we will respond like Jacob. My somewhat short time with you so far, especially with the challenges and the difficulties of the past several months, your faith and your dedication has not only been admirable to me, but inspirational. And I am grateful for that. As we live out here, the mission entrusted to us, this place and time under the canopy of God's grace and His love, His mercy, and His compassion. So let's join together as we move forward in the work of the Lord entrusted to us. Or, as it happened to others before, we might not get to go at all.